We see, if we pay attention, in what a wonderful way God led him and also led us from clarity to clarity. Even such men of God increase in knowledge and in biblical instruction which the Holy Spirit gives and presents according to the time. I think it was today when I read about it, how brothers, this may not fit here, but sometimes there are connections, years and months and times are given. When the mighty revival took place here in Germany, I'm sure we all heard about the Brethren Church that came out of that revival as a spiritual church at that time. And when two brothers went to London to speak to John Wesley, and strangely enough, these two German brethren who had experienced a baptism in the Spirit according to the original pattern, go to John Wesley, and one sets the date there. It was July 17th, something like that, when John Wesley had the tremendous experience with God. After these two brothers, who stayed not so very far from here, they go there to talk to this man who until then had been a preacher but had not yet had an experience with God in this way. And suddenly he was gripped and he experienced God in a very powerful way. And as we know, he later became the messenger whom God used in a special way. God is in everything. One can, if one wants to look back, one can look at the things that have been, not with contempt, but with gratitude, because all these things were the work of God. Perhaps not to the full extent that we are used to, but perhaps these people had the guidance of the Holy Spirit to an even greater degree than we have with all our knowledge and instruction. People led by the Spirit of God. We think of Schwenkfeld, who was used in a much more powerful way in Luther's time than Luther himself, who at that time baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who prayed for people to receive the baptism of the Spirit. And even history must testify that he was far ahead of the reformers in knowledge and was pardoned by God in a special way. But there have always been, and we know, and Brother Branham has particularly emphasized it, that out of every revival, there are two lines that come forth, even then. And strangely enough, the lineage that put the man before the wagon and used him as a figurehead was not the spiritual lineage that somehow existed alongside the official church, even then, and was richly blessed by God. I think it was a man from the Mülheim Pentecostal movement who tried to point out that besides what was officially known and recognized, God had a small flock, namely His church, which followed the leading of the Holy Spirit and served and ministered to the Lord. It is similar in this time. It is not the broad masses that live in this time. And we heard it of Brother Branham, that something was already happening with the First World War. And he talks on another tape about the travails that are coming over the globe, the travails related to the First World War, and about the more intense travails of the Second World War. And he says, when the third time comes, when the third labor pains come, then a new birth will have to come forth. We know that when labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, something has to come forth. It has to be born, and one labor pain comes after the other. But then new life comes. And so we have before our eyes that the things that come upon the earth as labor pains, I think there are three woes in Revelation. Is it true? Three woes. And even those three woes that are indicated there point to the very last time that we live in. And it is possible, of course, that they will be finally fulfilled after we are here. But one thing is certain, the same labor pains that come upon this earth also come upon the church. And every time such labor pains have come upon the church, something new has been born. New life from God came forth in the church of the living God. Without such labor pains, there is no new life. I don't know who it was, but one of the people, maybe even Pastor Gesichen, I just remember him when he was already childish. But he too will have had a time when God blessed him. And I think it was he who said, I had to realize that as a believer, I must first repent in order to draw closer to God. There are labor pains that have to come upon us. And when we sing about the glory into which we will enter without any doubt, then I mean labor pains must first come upon us, that we call upon God from the bottom of our hearts and experience God, to have an experience with God on the spot to which we can revert to, an experience, no matter how we would describe it, but that we know something has happened by the grace of our God. People upon whom these spiritual labor pains have come have not so much hopped and jumped. When labor pains come, even the scripture teach it, sadness sets in, and sometimes perhaps even timidity. But when the birth has taken place, everything has been transformed, and then there's joy over the new life that has come. That is how it is with all of us. And there is no mistaking, even in Revelation 12, and that reminds us of the rising of the dragon on the way. As it says there, he tries to devour. But first of all, the labor pains come upon the church before the man-child can finally be born and come forth. And these spiritual labor pains that come upon us, that must come, there is no passing by. But where can they come? Already earthly, they can't just come, and you can't lay in bed and say, I'm in labor now. First, there must be a spiritual begetting. I don't mean it as a joke, brothers and sisters. I mean it sincerely and honestly. First, we must receive the seed of the Word of God. First, a love relationship must be established between God and us, so that the seed of God is planted in our hearts. And then, in due time, this spiritual woe will come upon us, and then new life will be born. There are so many things in the earthly. Forgive this expression, but sometimes the Lord also used earthly things and depicted the kingdom of God in various images. We know that ourselves. Earthly, many are always afraid whether it is so far. But spiritually, we should be afraid that it is not yet so far. True or not, we should come to the point where this divine seed is planted in us. We heard it of Mary. When the angel greeted her, she was told, Blessed are you among women. You found grace with the Lord. And she says, How shall it be? I know of no man. And the angel says, the Holy Spirit shall overshadow thee, and the power of the Most High shall come upon thee, and that which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of the Highest. Didn't Paul in Ephesians 5 compare Christ and the church with the relationship between husband and wife? He says, here lies a great mystery, but I speak with reference to Christ and the church. There is much more in it. We see from the very beginning with Adam and Eve. Eve was inside Adam. She was taken out of his side. The bride church was in Christ. His side was opened at Calvary. And through the precious and holy blood that was shed, we are redeemed and set free and have become spirit from his spirit and life from his life. From the beginning, everything that God has ever done has somehow had a meaning and a purpose. Now, in this very last time in which we live, God has once again given seed to the sower. You know the word from the prophet Isaiah. There it is written that his word will not return void. He sends the rain, the snow, everything, to give seed to the sower, that he may sow it in due season. And so the seed of the revealed word is in the, shall we put it once in that way? I think Brother Branham puts it this way. We are not used to speak at this place in such examples. But he literally says, when the church comes to the point that she has a virgin womb, that she has not been burdened with anything, not being defiled with anything, and that she receives into that virgin womb the pure and holy Word of God. And he says, when this Word of God has been put into her, then the spiritual womb closes. Are we allowed to say this here? And then nothing more can come in. Then this seed of the Word of God is preserved. Nothing more comes in. The womb closes. I speak spiritually now. After the seed of the Word has come in, and then birth pains can also come when the time is right. I wish I had the courage to talk about these things the way Brother Branham talks about them. And he says, anyone who is spiritually minded will understand all this spiritually. But he says, as long as there is still spiritual fornication going on, and you are susceptible to everything, you can't have anything that is born which is pure and holy. It is said of the 144,000 that they are pure because they have not defiled themselves with women. And we know women in the Bible means churches. We all know that. We read in Revelation 12 about the woman as the church, in Revelation 17 about the world church as woman. And there are enough examples that show us what it is all about in this time, namely not to mix anything anymore, but to come into the presence of God in an absolutely pure and holy way. And spiritually speaking, that is first of all the new birth, which happens through the Word and the Spirit, through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Then it continues that into the newly created, the new seed of the Word of God is planted. And we have heard it in the recent meetings. God wants to do something new. He wants to push aside the old to make room for the new. He wants to take away the stony heart to make room for a heart that is receptive, that can absorb. A stone cannot absorb anything. You can sow seeds on it day in, day out. But the soil that is capable of this is plowed, it is prepared, and then you can sow into it. So it is spiritually understandable that the Lord must create a heart in us that receives the divine seed. And after receiving the divine seed, and we know very well, the Lord speaks of this. He says, the sower has sown, but then came the birds of the air, then came this and that. But there were some who were ready and pardoned by God to bear fruit a hundredfold. So now you have to be careful that you don't just sow and the seed flies all over, but you have to know, and every farmer who is reasonable knows exactly where it is worth sowing and where it is not worth sowing. And it doesn't make sense to deceive yourself. You know, when you are young, you try to avoid some work so that you are finished faster. But you sow all that later, where you didn't plow properly, where you didn't prepare the ground, you paid for it. It is not worthwhile, especially not in the kingdom of God, to do anything casually. Thoroughness always pays off, and so may God do a thorough work in all of us at this time. The old must be cast aside. As the scripture says, put off the old man and put on the new man. And then the new man needs new, living, God-given food. And that is the word. It is the seed that is then laid into it. And when this seed has been laid into us, then may God see to it that nothing else is added. And then he will watch over it, as in all nature. When the seed is sown, then one knows, and every man can figure out who knows about these things. Here it takes so and so long, and here it takes so and so long. Every seed has its time, and one knows exactly where the seed was sown, there comes also a harvest. It's the same in the spiritual. We can figure out that in this time, when grace has come upon us from God, that a new field was plowed, and that the old one is put aside, so that this new living seed of the Word of God is put in, and then everything closes. Then whoever wants can come. Then the enemy can come and say anything. We don't listen to that, because we have realized what it is all about by the grace of God in this time. Nothing must be mixed. You know, in the Old Testament, you were not allowed to sow two different seeds on the same soil. Even in the law of Moses, God saw to it. Either it was a wheat field or whatever it was, you were not allowed to sow two different seeds on the same field. Even in the suit, it had to be of one and the same material and not two, three, four different fabrics. God hates all mixing. God is a God of order. And if he has a wheat field, he wants a wheat field. And when he suddenly found that there were weeds in the wheat field, then he says, this is what the enemy has done. This is what the enemy has done. Everywhere where other seed is added to the seed of God, then one can say, the enemy has done this. And the disciples said back then, shall we go and pull out the tares? And the Lord says, let everything grow until the harvest. May God give us grace that we are wheat field, pardoned by God, blessed by God, that we have made a new experience with God, and that everything has become new. And this new word of God, if we put it this way, actually it is very old, but newly revealed and put upon the lampstand, that we take it into our hearts in reverence, without still mixing it up with this or that. Someone said to me recently, Brother Frank, I was so disappointed. I come to your house where the sermons of Brother Branham are sent all the time, and I also saw sermons from this one and that one. And this person asked, what should we do? I said, nothing. Nothing at all. He who has not understood that in this time a holy and divine sowing has taken place without any mixing, he himself is not yet born again to a living hope. He mixes in his own faith life, and he mixes with the things that were wrong before, and takes the real thing on top of it, and thinks it will help him. No, that doesn't work. We don't want to judge here, but we believe that God's word cannot be mixed, and we believe that God has sent his servant and prophet, and that this word has come to us as a living revelation of the living God in this time. I have no difficulty in acknowledging that God has used different people mightily, but equally I have no difficulty in lighting a fire. That doesn't give me any difficulty either. When I have understood what God has done in this time, then it's a small thing to let everything else just go up in smoke with goodwill and to concentrate solely on what God has given in this time. Everything else is distraction. Everything else is missing the point. Everything else is mixing. And this body cannot close so that growth can begin. Do you understand that? So that spiritual growth can begin. As long as things are still going back and forth, nothing is closed yet, no growth has taken place, and the labor pains are not happening. And we all think we are continually receiving, and the labor pains remain absent, and the breakthrough we are waiting for remains absent. Let us be honest with ourselves and before the face of God, and ask ourselves whether we have put off the old man with all his things, and the Holy Scriptures give us clear information about this. And if not, then we need a new experience with God. And it is better that we are told here, while there is still time, that we can put it right. Whether it is our tongue, and that has always been, God knows, has always been the worst evil in the whole world. There is nothing worse, that's how James writes, than the tongue. And that's why at Pentecost the tongue was scorched and divided by the divine fire, so that people would finally know what was going on. For if your tongues were cut in this way, things would look different, for then you wouldn't feel like talking anymore. Back then at Pentecost, the Bible says it, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. Why this division with divine fire? That at last the misuse of tongues would cease and be put into the service of God. For God divides, and he makes and brings order where it belongs. But we will drag out the time, and God is having trouble with all of us to grasp and understand how far the time has advanced. And when Brother Branham almost said 20 years ago, I see nothing more to be fulfilled, but the coming of the Lord is the only thing we are waiting for. How much grace has God given us in all these years? And what is the meaning and purpose of our coming together? Is it just a service that we interpret some parable? No. God has called us together to make all things new, to put this new seed of the word within us, to watch over it so that the growth can come, and that the birth pains can finally set in and something new can come forth by the grace of our God. It is written, what a man sows, that shall he also reap. We have not sown stories in this place, but God's holy word. And this holy word must come forth in power and glory, as it did with Mary. In her, the Word became flesh. The Word itself is Spirit. That is what is written. But it became flesh and dwelt among us. Now we are a Word of God made flesh, by God fulfilling His promises for this time, on, through, and in all of us. Back then, the promises for that time were fulfilled. Today, they are fulfilled on us and in us and through us. And there is no way around it. We should be honest and sincere with each other and ask God to give us an undivided heart. For those who trust Him with an undivided heart have the promise that God will bless them. God blesses all who trust Him with an undivided heart. He calls out to us and says, "Be still and know that I am God." He is God. His word has gone forth. He has revealed Himself to those who have sought and found refuge in Him. Now the time has come when we must take care that the holy word of God is placed in a prepared soil in our hearts, so that nothing else can enter. And then we also come to the point of sealing. How many people, they say it lightly, just look into the churches of the full gospel. They say, I'm sealed. Today they believe this, and tomorrow they believe that, but not what God has said. What is sealed by God? Certainly not just anything, but seal your word in your disciples. That's how we read it in Isaiah. He sealed His instruction in His disciples towards revelation, towards the Word of God. The moment the Word of God, revealed by the Holy Spirit, is placed in our heart, which was prepared so that nothing else is mixed to it, but can remain holy and pure, then the same Holy Spirit who gave the revelation of the Word and placed it in our heart, the same Holy Spirit will put the seal on us. And then nothing will change. Then any wind of doctrine can come. It can blow around. Someone can say what he wants. Here in the heart, the Word of God is sealed. The revelation of the Living One has found a place, as it did in the sanctuary. And thus we are now the temple of God. And the divine word of revelation is placed within us. We must not always speak of the church in general and somehow think, all right, I will just sit here now and all this here is the church. Instead, we have to see it as individual members. The term church or the word church is made up of different members, just as well as you say it is one body, but it's many members. The question is whether each individual member, whether I, whether you, have this personal part in God, in the Word of God, and in the work of the Holy Spirit. You can't just say, well, I belong to the church. It could happen that what we call church here does not quite need to be the church as God sees it. The church as God sees it, or those who belong to the church, are those who are born again, enlightened, led, filled, and sealed by the same Holy Spirit. It is a way that God walks with all of us. We must not be satisfied with just saying, yes, the Lord blesses in our church, the Lord speaks in our church, all that is wonderful. We are grateful to God even for such sayings, because if God didn't bless, we wouldn't all be here, right? But that alone will not be enough if you cannot even say, the Lord has spoken to me. The Lord has meant me. I have been addressed. This and that has struck me. God has meant well with me. It must come to this personal relationship with God and us, and between each of us. There's no other way. I tell you the truth, otherwise we just go into hiding. But we don't want to hide. We want to be incorporated as members into the body of Jesus Christ and know that He is the head. And for that, we all need, from the first to the last, a new experience with God. The time we have left is very short. And if we all weigh our words, bridle our tongues, and submit to God with all that we are, and say, Lord, reveal yourself to me in your power and glory, as the risen one, as the living one, as the one who said, the world sees me no more, only for a little while, but you will see me. All of Jesus' disciples had a personal experience with the Lord. Not one could refer to what another had experienced. Everyone had their own encounter with the Lord Jesus. So we must all have our encounter with the Lord. Great or little, whatever our tasks may be, not one. I think it was Brother Branham who had repeated what Du Plessis said. God has no grandchildren, only children. Everyone must come to God and experience God in the same way. Let us never forget from this evening this thought that the holy seed of the revealed word must be placed in a holy spiritual womb, which then closes to receive nothing else but to remain holy and pure, so that something can happen, so that finally the birth pangs come. We always wait for it and wait for it, and nothing seems to have happened at all. You know what I mean? May God help us. May He give us a clear spiritual understanding of what it is all about in this time. And then we will all be helped at once. Then we will mind our own business, each to his own. And we will have a respect for God and for each other, a gratitude for each other. We will understand, love and carry each other. No one will misunderstand anything. You know my old saying, he who is right in his heart understands everything rightly. That is what it is all about in this time. And a songwriter sings, Soul, are you right with God? Say, are you right with God? What is our standing with God tonight? How is it about our spiritual life? Have we been able to offer the Lord a sanctified womb to receive His holy word revealed for this time as the living seed within us? Has God given us the grace, as with Mary, who could say, I know of no man. Holy Spirit will overshadow you. What a contrast to Eve. She could not say that. She could not say that. And Paul writes to the Corinthians, I fear, as the serpent beguiled Eve, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And then he says, I'm jealous over you, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. This is the endeavor of the Spirit of God in each and every heart that is destined to behold the glory of God. May the Lord help us and bless us from the riches of His grace, that we examine ourselves and say, Lord, give us a love relationship with You. Place Your holy seed within us. Watch over Your precious and holy word. And let something happen, that sons and daughters of God may be born like the dew in the morning, that something new may come to pass, as the Lord has promised. Behold, I make all things new. The old must be taken away to make room for the new. God Himself will see to it. Praise be to His holy name. Amen. Let us stand and pray. Heavenly Father, together we come before your holy face, O God. We ask you to give us all grace. You alone can do it. You will help. This confidence we have in you, O God. No one knew what was to be said tonight. No one has thought about it. You have given it so, O Lord. Gratefully we accept it. May you continue to speak to us, O God. O Lord, be thou our bridegroom. Be thou our everything. O Savior, may that first love return. That love for thee. O God, may your precious and holy word be placed in us as a pure seed. Then you will watch over it. Thou wilt confess to it. You will give the breakthrough and bring forth new life. We praise you and worship you in Jesus' name. In Isaiah chapter 66, in verse 9, it says, shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God? And before that it says, before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. And then it goes on, shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth? God Himself must give it, whether it concerns us or whether it concerns Israel. It is the same God, the same Word, the seed of His Word that is placed in us. May He bless us all, that we ponder on His Word and keep and heed it, and may we let the Spirit of God work until that which God has purposed is done. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious and holy Word. Lord, your word has spoken to us so often, and it is your purpose, Lord, to come to the end with us. Lord, we do not take it lightly, but look upon us in mercy. Lord, you see where we lack, where I lack, and where we all lack, O God. Lord, we will not go from here and say, I don't need anything, I'm already so righteous. But we rather bow deeply, Lord, and confess before Thee that things are not yet as they should be in my life and in all our lives, O God. Help us now at the end of this year, O God, that we consider our lives, O Lord, that we may be justified in all things, O Lord, with you, O Lord, with us all. Give grace, O Lord. We thank thee. Be with our dear brother when he goes to Zurich tomorrow, O God. Bless him, O God, and bless your people there too. Bless the whole church, Lord. Your body, Lord. Bless your elect everywhere, O God, in all places, O Lord, everywhere, in all countries. Faithful God, this is our sincere prayer. You know our hearts. You know how we mean it, Lord. Be thou with us, and be thou with our brother. Lord, bless him. Be the word in his mouth, Lord. Give him what to say. Lord, we know if you don't give us what to say, then we are poor and empty, O God. O God, we need you to speak to us more and more. Thy name, Lord, be praised and glorified. Hallelujah. Amen.